Hello and welcome to the first ever Remix My Fitness podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Kim, and I'm so happy that you've taken the time to check out our very first episode of the show. I'm so pumped, I'm a little nervous, and I won't lie, I'm a little scared right now. I've been working as a trainer for the last 8 years and have had the pleasure of working one-on-one, group classes, teaching children, corporate events, seminars, and even doing public speaking events, but never anything like this before. This first season, I've decided to be a little ambitious and roll out with 2 episodes a week. Once a week, the Remix My Fitness podcast will be sharing stories of everyday people. People like you and me. People that you interact with every day. People like parents, entrepreneurs, students, world travelers. These people could be like weekend warriors, yogis, or people who just started in fitness and exercise. These everyday people will share their stories on how they have incorporated fitness, healthy eating, and personal goal setting to fit their lives. My hope is that you'll recognize yourself or someone you know and be inspired to keep doing what you're doing, or find the motivation to get started in your own personal fitness journey. The second episode, which will air in a few days, will be an actual weekly coaching call with Dave Stewart. You'll get to follow Dave's 12-week journey as he tries to figure out his own fitness DNA. He's going to go through some ups and downs of balancing work, family, and fitness. So why Remix My Fitness? From my own personal experience of losing over 70 pounds and helping others to achieve their fitness goals, I've realized that there isn't one way to eat, train, or live. So why would there be one workout or one diet that's going to work for you? There's no such thing as a foolproof program. There's no such thing as a secret workout. And there isn't one exercise that's going to get you to where you want to go. You have to be willing to accept and to change and remix the way you're training and eating to match with your life and the life events that come up, such as a baby being born, getting a new job, or something as small or as big as changing of a season. You have to be willing to find what works for you. And this is what I call cracking your fitness DNA. You will hear more about this in further episodes. Today, our first guest, or should I say guests, on our very first episode will be Kate and Norman Fabrown. Kate and Norm clearly love physical activity of all forms, shapes, and sizes. You will get to hear how they manage their family's fitness and interests while maintaining a plant-based lifestyle. What's also interesting is what they tell their boys about their choices in fitness and food. One more thing before we hear from Kate and Norm, which is, I want to hear from you, the listeners. Did you like today's show? Did you hate it? Don't be shy. I have thick skin. You can tell me the truth. There are 2 ways to stay in touch with me, and that is joining my free Remix My Fitness Facebook community group. I'm on there with other like-minded individuals, sharing tips, trying different diets, and finding just different ways to remix my own fitness. Or you can hit me up on my email at jimmy@remixmyfitness.com. In fact, if you want to share your own personal fitness story, reach out to me. Tell me a little bit about yourself. You can do that at, again, jimmy@remixmyfitness.com. So without further ado, here is Kate and Norman Fabrown. So I want to welcome to the Remix My Fitness podcast, Norman and Kate Fabrown. How are you guys doing today?
Great. How are you doing, Jimmy?
I'm doing not too bad. We were just quickly talking off air, and I was practicing pronouncing your last name, and you told me that you YouTube just made that up.
Yeah, it's totally made up.
Yeah, would you care to share the story behind that?
Yeah, it's just, well, I mean, it's not like totally made up. It's like an amalgam of our two last names. Like, I was a Barb and Kate was Brown, and neither of us particularly wanted to drop our last name in favor of the other. And then we thought hyphenation is sort of like passing the buck on to the next generation, which is okay. But then what happens when two hyphenated name people meet each other? Now you've got four hyphenated names. You know, you can do powers of two. That's just going to get messy soon. So we thought, why don't we just like create a hybrid name that sort of symbolized starting a new family? So Barb and Brown. I got to go first, but I had to lose an R. And then Fabrown was the love child of our marriage, which I guess is not that sinful since we're married.
Well, it started as a joke, though, and I was pretty not in favor of Fabrown, but then it just enough people started using it, and then it kind of stuck.
Yeah, really? They really wanted us to call our first kid Downtown.
Really?
Yeah, we resisted that part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So you two have two kids, right?
Yeah, two kids, two boys, 6-year-old Quinton and Phoenix is 4 years old.
4 years old. And do they have that last name? I would assume so, right?
Yep, we're all Fabrowns.
Fabrowns, wow. So you two just made up your own clan here.
Yep.
Yeah, essentially.
Wow.
It's not even covered by the Marriage Act. It's like the same as changing your name to anything. You just get like a legal name change.
Yeah. You know, I know a little bit about it because it started, like Gina and I, started off as a joke, but both of us, our last names are Kim.
Okay.
And I was kind of like, well, why don't we hyphenate our names and go, you know, Jimmy, Kim, Kim. And then like it led to, I don't know who said this, but why don't we call ourselves like Jimmy and Gina Kim squared?
Yeah.
And we were legitimately like looking into it, like maybe we'll do it, but I think our friends.
Super scripts though, like on a birth certificate, but I don't know, I could be wrong.
Well, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourselves? Why don't we start with Kate?
Sure, yeah. So I was born in Hobart, in Tasmania, Australia, but grew up on the mainland in Victoria. And when I was a teenager, moved to Canada. And I've been here ever since.
Did you move to Toronto?
No, I moved to Kitchener-Waterloo area. And as soon as I got, I guess after first year university, I moved to Toronto.
And how do you miss Australia at all?
I do miss the weather. Mostly the people I miss. I definitely have some good mates back there.
Some good mates.
I'm a big Toronto fan. I've embraced it, and it definitely feels like home now.
Yeah, it's amazing. And yeah. Okay, I had a question for you, which was, so where did you go to school then? Like, what did you go to, university or college?
Yeah, so I did a year at Waterloo, and then I decided to take some time off and go traveling, and actually went back to Australia for a couple of months and traveled around with some friends, and then decided I wanted to go to fashion school. So I went to the Academy of Design and finished my diploma in fashion design there.
Oh, very cool. I didn't officially go to Waterloo, but I was there quite often. Fed Hall? Is that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Had a couple of good buddies that went there, and so I visited them quite often. Yeah.
Nice.
Had a good time. What about you, Norm? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm like Toronto kid, born and raised, and just been here pretty much all my life. I also went to Waterloo at the same time Kate was doing first year, which is how we got introduced through mutual friends. Though I don't think we really knew each other well until after Kate had moved to Toronto and I was doing my undergrad at Waterloo. And yeah, I started in computer engineering. I wanted to do like artificial intelligence, but the calculus really killed me and I dropped out and I went into psychology and philosophy and ended up sort of sticking around in academia, and I work at U of T now.
Psychology? Okay, cool. And so do you ever get asked questions of people, you know, can you assess me? Are you psychoanalyzing people all the time?
I probably am, but no, my job is more on like research streams. So I study like mood disorders and why people are vulnerable or resilient against them. And I do a lot of research on sort of alternative therapies like meditation or yoga, and how doing that kind of training changes the brain and changes the way people relate to their experience. So yeah, it's fun stuff. It's kind of like fun big picture stuff. Like the day-to-day is still a lot of stats and editing and things like that, but the questions are really interesting.
Yeah, and that's such a huge thing now in like meditation, mindfulness. It's really come a long way, even from when I first started out in the fitness industry. Nobody really was talking about it 10, 12 years ago, but now it goes hand in hand with physical activity. You need to be mindful. Meditation has become so huge lately.
I think you know, mindfulness especially is like so hot right now, mm-hmm. and things kind of move in their cycles. Like you could think of like the yoga movement in like the 80s and 90s, kind of like that too. But I think the main key to it is like once you finish school, as a culture, we didn't really have like a big feeling that you still keep trying to develop your mind. Like people would think, oh, I got to do fitness. That was like a kind of generational thing in the past generation or two, that people realized you have to take care of your body. Otherwise, bad things will happen sooner. There's been a sort of analogous, awakening or realization in the culture that you can also train your mind just like you could train your body, and that there are relatively easily accessible practices that'll help you do that. So the mindfulness movement has kind of become like a masthead for that kind of idea of training your mind, just like people try to maintain physical fitness. But it's still kind of early days for like the science to really figure out what the best practices are. But definitely there's a huge amount of enthusiasm and interest for it right now.
Yeah, I might pick your brain on another day about that.
Sure.
So we know a little bit about you two, and guys gave us a brief history of how you met. You met at Waterloo in school, but you were introduced at that time.
We are mutual friends, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just through friends. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. then, if you don't mind sharing, how did you two then went from going just having mutual friends to now having two kids?
Well,
wow.
You get into a certain level of detail.
give us a skinny. We don't need the dirty details.
I was actually friends with his roommate and had made plans to kind of get together with him one day in Toronto. And we actually had made plans to go to Nathan Phillips Square, where there was a big protest. This was back in the days of raving. And we went to a protest to protest raves not being allowed to be held in government buildings. And when I rocked up there, he brought this guy, Norm, along, and quickly my friend kind of disappeared into the crowd. And then I was kind of stuck with Norm for like 8 hours in this sea of like color and big fat pants and all these raving kids. And we ended up just having a great day together and kind of decided to see each other just one-on-one after that.
Oh, very cool. So, and how long have you two been married now?
What is it now? This will be...
Come on, Norm, you got to be quick on this.
We got married on our 10-year anniversary, like, of dating, so...
Yeah, I think we've been married for, like, 7 or 8 years now.
8 years now.
And we were together for 10 years before that, so I think now we've been together almost half our lives.
Yeah. Almost, okay. Gina and I, we always calculate that as well. Like, sometimes I forget, but Gina and I, we've been together, I think this is our 15th year together, but we've only been married 7 years?
Yeah.
7 years. I'll edit that out if that's wrong, but
smoothly dub it over right now.
Yeah. Kate, you just did the cracking your fitness DNA quiz, and the way you answered it, I have you pegged as the, or the quiz has you pegged as the loner.
Oh, so really?
You like working out alone without distractions or others or others
that's
holding
interesting.
You down. You prefer. Yeah,
that's interesting because I have done a lot of like group, like social.
Yeah.
You know, playing frisbee, ultimate frisbee.
That is true. That is true.
So that's interesting.
Norm, I have you here. Da, 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 da. Norm, you're like a mix of the loner, and then the complete opposite, which was like the team player. So you like to be a little bit competitive. You may have grown up playing team sports and you enjoy the competition skills improvement. And there's no greater joy holding your hands up high and being victorious. So. You like the types of activities you might enjoy, or like
accurate actually.
Yeah,
I like team sports, but like anyone who thinks team sports about the team covering for you, they don't know how to play team sports. You still have to win your individual battles.
Exactly, exactly. So do you like you play basketball actually, right? Or you used to play basketball? So
I used to. Yeah. I went in like 2 days ago.
Oh, did you?
I can still beat him. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope so. So Kate, could you just quickly run us through the different things that you do? Because I know you do quite a bit. Like both of you do quite a bit, but you both do things together and you both do things separately, which I find fascinating. So when you run us through your current physical activity schedule.
I'll let Norms is a lot more. He has a lot more busy schedule than I do these days. Right now, I'm just doing your class, so once a week. And then I'm doing about like 45 minute run on Thursday nights. And then if I can squeeze in anything else aside, like any kind of home fitness, I'll try and get that in. But that's pretty much all I'm doing these days. My frisbee days are kind of behind me now, too many injuries. But I'm hoping to get back into yoga too. That's kind of on my to-do list.
Are you not starting Ultimate Frisbee next week?
Well, it's funny. The season's starting this week, and I'm not. I have just with my torn ACL and just my ankle not being 100%. I've just too many injuries to play.
To play frisbee this year.
Yeah. I think it might be my frisbee days might be over now.
No, it's never. It's never over. Just taking a break.
Well, I can always go and toss the disc around, which is what I really love to do, and I like to cheer on all my friends from the sidelines, so I can still do that part.
Right.
The social part I'll still participate in.
Okay. And Norm, how about yourself? Were you just always a super athlete?
No, I don't think I was ever. I've never been a super athlete. I was a super reader as a kid. I would hide inside school in elementary school so I could read fantasy novels, and I'd get like angry if the teachers made me go outside. So I don't really think I did anything physically that I wasn't forced to do until probably like grade 8 or 9. And I got convinced somehow, maybe some comely lass in an upper year convinced me to join the cross country team. And I started running a bit and having fun with that and sort of discovering that like it could be enjoyable to exercise and made good friends that way. And my first foray into anything physical is running cross country and track, like in junior high and early high school. And I started playing basketball with my friends, became like a total gym rat that way. And we'd always be like trying to sneak into the gym and even like going down to the school, like on weekends and trying to sneak in and play. And so I'd spend like every moment I could just trying to play basketball in high school. And then I think undergrad wasn't the healthiest period of my life in terms of like physical fitness. I'd still go play like pickup ball. I sort of let running fall aside. But when I moved back to Toronto at the end of undergrad, I met up with quite a few friends who were also moving back to the city. And some of them were into frisbee. And so I got into playing ultimate frisbee with them. And that became a really big part of my life, and ended up doing some touring and that's going city to city and playing in tournaments like around Toronto, like in Ontario and in Michigan and other parts of the States, and playing for the university team. And then in parallel, Kate and I started doing like a lot more yoga. So we had a gym that had free classes with the membership, and we slowly started going like more and more often. So I think at like the peak, we might've been doing like 4 or 5 classes a week. So that was sort of like the restorative healthy side, whereas like the competitive frisbee was like, just like take all the cartilage in your body and just burn it. So it like started to feel like after a while, like it just really grinds you down, because it's like sprinting, stopping, turning, sprinting, turning, stopping. And you do like 3 games in a day and a tournament and do it the next day. And so at this point, I'm still playing Ultimate. Like, our season starts this coming week, but we're sort of at the high intermediate level now. Like, we're on our way down from the elite level. And so I can see that sort of winding up. And like Kate, I think I'd like to get a bit more into yoga again as our time opens up. And then the other thing I started doing the past couple of years was I got our elder kid, Quentin, into Taekwondo as kind of like a confidence boosting thing, because he's sort of a bit passive when he was younger. And then 6 months into that, I thought, oh, I'll sign up too, that'll help him like maintain his interest. And I've totally gotten into it maybe more than he has sometimes. So I've been doing that for like a year and a half, and now that's like 3 times a week. And then trying to get an odd run in now and again, just to like have some semblance of cardio, and then taking once a week with you, Jimmy, as well.
And you also bike everywhere.
Yeah, and I don't like driving, so I bike or walk everywhere I can. So like on an average day, even if there isn't like a workout or anything, I'll still be getting like an hour and a half, like carting around the city, dropping kids off, biking to meetings, that kind of thing. So yeah, it's become a really active adult, but like you would never have known that if you saw me when I was like 11. You'd be like, this kid is never, like doesn't have an athletic bone in his body. So I came sort of late to it, or relatively late getting into sport.
You know, I actually hear that often when people tell me, you know, I was relatively not an active child and I got into sports late. But, you know, I think starting it at any time is a good time. It's never too late to start something, right?
Yeah, totally. I think anything you can do, and it's always just like, you know, trying to be better than you were the day before. So anytime you can get out and do something more than you're used to doing, as long as it's nothing dangerous, you know, but then it's probably going to serve you well in the long term. So we just try to think about like what we can build into our week to keep ourselves like healthy. And it really makes a big difference. Like I think when you're stressed too, it's hard to realize how much stress you're carrying around until you have like the contrast. And so sport, like working out is a really good example of that, where I can like come home and be like, oh, I feel awesome, and then I'll realize like how crappy I felt before I worked out. And that sort of reinforces its importance.
Yeah, I mentioned this to Kate I think a little while back, but ultimate frisbee is a very unforgiving sport. It is, I don't know if you know this, and I don't mean to jinx you, Norm, but it is the highest injury rated team sport that you could play right now.
You're wearing cleats too, right?
So yeah, do you know what the number one injury is for ultimate frisbee?
Probably ACLs.
ACL, yeah, that's up there.
Knees or ankles.
Yeah, that and cracked shoulders.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Probably most of the terrible collarbone shoulder stuff I've seen has been like playing rugby in high school.
Oh, okay.
I could see that in frisbee.
So we've gone through both your physical fitness history and your current schedules. If I could shift it over just a little bit to, I'm always interested to know how parents and how families balance your daily nutrition, what you guys eat, because I think the two of you, you two eat slightly differently, right?
Not so much.
Okay.
Pretty much eating the same things. Like we cook pretty much one you know meal that everybody eats.
Okay.
We're both vegetarian. I have a bit of food intolerance to eggs and dairy, so as a result of that, I've been pretty much cooking at home, mostly vegan meals. So lots of plant-based. I still eat, you know, like fish on occasion. So on those kind of nights, like Norm wouldn't eat the fish and I'd make another protein for him. But generally, we're eating the same food as the kids are eating.
Okay.
And mostly all plant-based, I would say.
Yeah, except late at night, like I'll eat a block of cheese. you know, to get to keep that dairy part alive for me, because I can still handle the dairy. But yeah, mostly I think we eat pretty healthy when we cook at home. But then, you know, that's peppered with like, you know, pizza and roti and like all kinds of takeout. So even then, I guess if you're eating vegetarian, it could be a bit more healthy, but not necessarily. So it's kind of a mix of like eating really nice, like, you know, lentils and rice one night, and then like Domino's pizza the next night. I need to try to average it out into like a well-balanced diet.
I'm never sure when Norm is joking. Are you really like sometimes eating the block of cheese in the evening time? Is that?
Yeah, no, totally.
Oh, okay.
I mean, not on purpose. Like I don't sit down and be like, I'm going to eat this block of cheese.
Yeah.
I just start slicing like cheese and watch TV or something. And then I look down and like, oh no, it happened again. So yeah, it would be hard for me to, kick cheese. I think I got a Jones for cheese now.
Yeah. So you both, you know, other than the occasional fish and so forth, you both generally eat vegetarian style.
Yeah.
And both your sons also eat vegetarian.
When they're here, but they eat meat too. We don't normally cook meat, but you know, at school, like in daycare, they get eat meat. When we go out, they'll order meat.
Yeah, sometimes. Like, we just want to give them the option, because I just know if we graze them saying, like, you can't eat meat, it's the devil's food, and then they got old enough where they could try it, they would just go all the way in. Like, they'd have to react against that pressure. So we just make sure they know what they're eating. Like, if they're eating a hamburger, we're like, oh, yeah, it's from a cow, it tastes really good, like that kind of thing. And then they kind of make their own decisions. But lately, I think they're starting to side a little more towards being vegetarian. But then if someone, like, slaps a hot dog down in front of them, like...
Or bacon. Or they bacon can't resist the smell of frying bacon.
Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, I could understand. Bacon smells and tastes delicious. So, like, they should have that experience. And if they decide when they're older they want to be more prescriptive about their diets, they can. The only thing we don't do is, like, we're not going to cook them, like, a separate meat meal at home.
Yeah.
So they're used to eating, like, our own veggie style. But if we go out to a barbecue or something, like, encourage them to try different things and make their own choices.
And have they ever asked you, mom, dad, why do you choose to eat vegetarian? Are they at that level where they can ask you something like that?
Quentin, at least, like, the older one has.
Yeah.
Actually, I used to eat more fish, and I remember, like, we were at an IKEA and I got fish and chips, and he said, like, something like, so you don't eat meat because you don't want to hurt the animals. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's like, oh, okay, but you like hurting the fish then, right? And I think at the time he just wanted my fish. Like, and he's, like, playing some kind of, like, Jedi mind trick on me. But then, like, after that, I was like, you're right, son. Like, that's hypocritical of me. And then I stopped eating fish after that. So I think they understand, like, it's mostly, like, our own, like, personal moral or, like, our own ethics around food. But we try not to be, like...
We're not, yeah, like there's always, even like maybe once or twice a year where I'll eat something, like I'll be traveling, for example, and there's not really a veggie option. I'm like, I'm just going to eat this dumpling, you know, a pork dumpling, and just enjoy it. And we're not like hardcore like vegans.
Yeah, it's not like a spiritual purity thing where we're like going to be corrupted if meat touched our lips. Or if, like, we have people over and we get, like, takeout and there's, like, some leftover chicken or something, like, and I'm about to throw it in the garbage, then, like, I might eat it, right? Because, like, who am I saving? Like, who am I crusading for at that point? Like, it's so, but it's more just, like, overall lifestyle that we try to eat that way.
And how long have you two been eating this way?
I've been vegetarian since I was about 14. And I would say vegan for the past... almost decade, I guess. Yeah, it was like late 20s when I finally found a good naturopath that said, I don't think eggs and dairy are working for you.
And you chose at 14 years old to stop eating meat at that time, and because of food intolerances, or?
No, it was more for like ethical reasons, and I was I was working at Mr. Sub and, you know, serving up all these sandwich meat. And I just thought, okay, enough.
He was like, that's enough sandwich meat. Or that's enough meat in a lifetime.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I had something kind of similar, like where I think I was around the same age and decided I didn't want to eat meat anymore. And I think, I don't know if it was like a really high brow kind of ethic, but I just, like, I didn't like it. Like, I had lots of experiences, like, I just didn't like the chewy fat, like, in the steak, or, like, I didn't like the stringy stuff that was in chicken. Like, I was just hypersensitive to it at the time, and I just, like, decided to cut it out. But then I've had, like, lapses, like, in university, trying to be a vegetarian, like, ordering veggie subs, like, two veggie subs at every meal. Like, I blew through my meal plan in first year, and I ended up eating meat, like, to survive. Like, Toonie Tuesday at Chester Fried Chicken is, like, a really good cheap source of protein. So I think through most of undergrad I was back eating meat again. Even though I was a teenager, I'd been vegetarian. And then I think there was another period when I was doing like competitive frisbee and like going out and like hanging out with like a bunch of dudes all the time, or going out for wings and eating meat and like Korean barbecue and stuff like that. But so I think, you know, since my teens also been vegetarian, but then with like two three-year windows of carnivorous living. And then but the past like decade or so, I think we've been mostly veggie or vegan. Even.
Okay, very cool. One of the things I'm most curious about, and it's something that I struggle with sometimes, which is how do you two organize and schedule all these activities for yourselves? So there's there, you know, just to kind of quick recap,
And the
there's all
kids.
and the kid stuff. Exactly. Sorry.
Oh, God.
That's what I was really going at. So you got your stuff, your individual stuff, and your stuff that you guys do together, and then you also have the stuff that you got to do for your kids as well, right?
Oh, every night of the week we have something on for the kids.
Yes. So
Yeah, all
do you
the
two have like a Sunday meeting, be like, hey, okay, on Sunday we're going like this, and this is happening, and I need to be this, and here, and this is where I'm going to be, and because you also have to manage your you both also work as well, right? So,
Yeah, we both work full time.
yeah.
I think just like, full time parents, full time working parents, you just we got a shared we have a shared calendar and everything goes on that. So all the kids' activities, all of our things, if we're blocking off like a window to go exercise, we put it on the calendar so the other one knows.
And is this a calendar that you post somewhere, or is this a calendar that you guys use
This
on
is
the
just
phone?
our shared Gmail calendar. That's it. Yeah, everything goes on there. So all the kids' activities are on there. And then any, time that we're working out, it just goes on there. And so everyone's aware of what's going on. And
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a tension. Like, we were just talking about that this week about overbooking, and sometimes you have to book out time that you're not allowed to book anything into. Sort of a lesson I've learned, like, both at work, but also for our family life. Like, it's important to know that there's going to be nights where you can just relax. And actually, for us, I think the weekends are more like that the most. Like, the weekdays are just crazy, and there is really something on almost every single weeknight. But we try to make sure that there are periods that are not highly structured or not like at least repetitively structured. So like we don't have any, I think, recurring events right now on Sundays, and only Quentin has swimming on Saturdays. And right now we have, I think, Wednesdays off, but that's about to get taken up by Frisbee. So when this round of city sports programs and stuff for the kids winds down, we have to carve out another day. So scheduling like is really important, but not just so that you can do the things you want to do, but also like to have some sanity time where you sort of
Yeah.
like recover.
I find for me especially, I need to have that, like Wednesday's nothing on. Just come home, take your time cooking dinner and just chill the kids,
Right, some oh, that somebody always calls the decompress time.
Yeah, I for me, I find I really need that. And having just like one work day, one weeknight with nothing on is the bare minimum for me. I need at least that. Two is kind of like my ideal. But then again, you can kind of the weekends we really try not to book too much, and so it's really just like family time.
So you also book, I think Norm was saying, you also book time where it's you block off time where it says, look, we're not doing anything this time. There's an actual block off time, like there's actual
Yeah, well,
blocks,
there's
yeah.
just certain days of the week where like you're not allowed to book anything on that week, on that night, because that's our family time
Yeah.
or whatnot.
So, because you two seem like you're very good at communicating with one another about I'm gonna go do this, I'm gonna do that. Would you say that's like a key to your success here?
Maybe. I guess we kind of learned. Like the calendar was fantastic. I don't know what we did before having the one shared calendar, as keeps us sane.
Yeah, I can't remember like
I can't remember
what
what's
happens
on
from day to day
tomorrow.
anyway. So like the calendar is a necessity, and then we both have access to the same calendars, so we can both kind of share the same virtual memory about what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, so that's been useful.
So were there times before this, before you started having the one calendar where there were mix-ups or there was times
There's
of
been
like
the odd time
frustration?
where something for some reason doesn't make it onto the calendar, and then it, can cause like upset. Or to me, like if it's not on the calendar, it's not happening. Like if it's not on there, it's.
But I think like since we had kids, it's pretty much been there the whole time. Like it wasn't like we were went around for like 3 years and then we're like, oh, we need to get organized. Like it was like to survive, we need to be organized like right away. Because before you have kids, you can just be like, oh, I'm gonna go head out to the gym now, and you're like, okay, whatever. Like who cares, right? But someone who always has to be around with it for the kids to be around, and so then you have to be able to know like, okay, who's gonna be around? You want to do this? Like I need to know so I can be around, or vice versa. So having that structure in place, I think, like makes there not really be that much conflict. And then also we have to chat like at the times that we're doing a lot of booking for the kids events especially, or if one of us wants to sign up for something, we have to talk about how that's going to work. Like you can't just sneak like every week forever kind of event into the calendar without telling the other person. Mm-hmm. Whereas you know, we wouldn't have to consult each other to like make dinner plans with a friend. Like it would just put it in for a few weeks and like that's assumed that it's going to be okay. The other person shouldn't also book a dinner out that night. So that stuff I think works quite well.
Do you guys have other rules like that where if you're going to book some time where, let's say Kate's going to have dinner with her friends or she's going to go work out, there's like a two week period where it needs to be the calendar
no,
2 weeks beforehand?
It's not really.
Oh, okay.
Like I had a dinner out with one of my girlfriends this past Saturday night and I think we just booked that a few days ahead and you just put on the calendar, you know, look up anything on that night. No. And then usually I'd give you a heads up, Norm, and say, hey, Saturday night, I'm not around. You're on your own. Solo dinner, solo bedtime kind of thing.
Yeah. I think what helps also is we're both like quite competent at doing everything with the kids. So I know not everyone would be like comfortable. It seems weird to me, but I know some people wouldn't be comfortable like with the guy putting like two or three kids to bed at the same time by themselves. But that's not like we sort of have interchangeable roles there. Like there isn't mm-hmm. anything that one of us can do with the kid that the other people can't do. And the other thing that really makes things easy, which isn't necessarily like easy for just someone else to pick up, is like my job as like a professor. There are times like I have to be there to lecture, but my time in general is extremely flexible. So it really helps pick up the slack. Like, cause even though we're both working full time, like I can book my life to make sure like I can always pick up the kids at a certain time if they have an extracurricular, like on Fridays. The younger kid has gymnastics at 4:30, so I just make sure my last meeting is done by 4. But if you have to work a 9-to-5, that's not always mm-hmm. as feasible. So kind of have to work with the time you have and then book into that. So I'm just fortunate that I'm able to make that sort of have that kind of flexibility in shipping kids around everywhere.
Right. Okay. I have one more question before. Actually, I do want to start talking a little bit about your kids. And how you manage their programs and their health and their fitness, which is you both do all these things and a very good mix of things. Is that all working towards a particular goal, or do you do these things for something in mind, or is it just you do it because you like doing it? Yeah,
I just do. Well, I guess I don't know. Definitely the stress release. That's a big one. Like it really working out really works for me, in terms of letting go like work stress or any of that. But just being like feeling fit and, just feeling good overall, better sleep, not really a end goal, just like maintenance.
Yeah. I think the only time I had like a really fixed goal and that's actually when I started getting into weight training was when we were doing really competitive Frisbee and like you're trying to win a national title or something like that. But those days, like I said, are long gone. So now it's more just like the attitude that you're either going to get a little better each day or a little bit worse. And if you do nothing, the default is you're going to get a little bit worse. And, you know, we've seen that just like generationally, like especially, you know, grandparents' generation and even our parents' generations before fitness was like as much a real concept in the culture that you just kind of do your job and then, you know, your body breaks down. And I think what we're realizing now, like, both scientifically but also just like growing up in a kind of more active generation is it doesn't have to be that way. Like it definitely gets harder to recover and to stay fit, but that doesn't mean that you can't have some say over like the way you age and not just physically. Like there's a ton of evidence that cardiovascular exercise is really the best protective thing you can do for your brain long term. I had to like put on my scientist hat for a second. So it's not like a specific goal, you know, and like the goal can't be like, don't die eventually. Like that's still going to happen. But, you know, if you have some say as to like how you're going to go out and are you going to have mobility and have like do everything that you do have power over to have like high cognitive function and high motor function. That's about having like every day trying to get a little bit better. Right. Because if you don't do that, then time is going to take it all away and it's going to take it away anyway. But so I don't want to be too morbid, but like you can kind of try to go gracefully and age gracefully, or you can just wait for things to build up and then something catastrophic to happen. So I think in the back of probably both our heads, it's like about having a lifestyle that lets you keep enjoying life as it goes on. And you have to work if you want that to be the case. Otherwise, you're just kind of rolling the dice and hoping that nothing bad happens when you're in your 40s or 50s. And for a lot of people, it does if they're not taking care of themselves. So I think that's all part of the ethos of like trying to eat well and stay active before there's like a problem.
So you guys are investing into your future selves, your future bodies, like no different than putting money away for your retirement. This is you're keeping active and keeping moving because, you know, 10 years, 20 years down the line, you still want to be active. You still want to be moving, trying different things, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Totally.
Yeah.
And what Kate said, like there's still the definite short term payoff. It's like you feel way better in the short term, and don't want to get like fat too fast. So like there's that in the short term too, but that long term picture is a big part of it.
Yeah, and that's that's very different than my daily, meetings with people, because I would say 90% of my day. When I meet with somebody, or 90% of the time when I meet with somebody, they have a very specific weight goal when they see me. It's all the time, and it's very rare when I meet people and they say, I sometimes get trapped into thinking I know what they're gonna tell me, and when they tell me something different, like what you guys are telling me, this is an investment for myself, and weight doesn't even come into the weight or the scale doesn't really come into the picture of things, and it's very refreshing to hear those kinds of things. Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends what you're up to. Like if you're trying to compete at an elite level, it might be really important to keep your weight down so you can stay mobile or something. And we both definitely put on some pounds over the past decade.
Yeah.
Compared to our svelte 20s. But if the goal is just to lose weight, like there's easier ways to lose weight than exercising, right? But if the goal is health, then that's not something you can just like change dramatically like in a month or two. It's like a lifelong journey.
Mm-hmm. Right. And is this something that you instill in your kids as well, or has it not come up yet?
It hasn't really come up yet, but I think we're teaching them good practice right now.
I think one thing that they talk about at Taekwondo, and I think I also try to reinforce, is like you should only really compare yourself to the person you were yesterday, and it's your choice. Like, do you want to get better, or are you happy? Like, are you content where you are? And if you think that there's something you want to improve on, you have to work for that. So I think that's the kind of idea we're trying to instill, and it's not just for physical stuff, it's for any kind of skill. So I think that's the more general message. But yeah, they're just so young, and we can't tell them what those things they should be working for are. It's just that they should know that there's a way that you get what you want, and it's not just by like wanting it really bad. Like, you have to work for what you want, and you have to take stock relative to yourself. Like, you can use other people as motivation, but there may be things other people can never do that you can do, and there may be things you can never do that other people can do. So ultimately, like, the best yardstick is just like, it's just the person you were yesterday, and how are you going to get better than that?
And Kate, if you can, could you run me through, or could you run me through how you and Norm figure out what activities your kids should be doing? Because I heard gymnastics, there's Taekwondo, and we heard a little bit why Taekwondo, but yeah, they must have another gambit of things that they also do as well, right?
Well, they're getting to an age too where they can express interest in kind of what they want to do. But previous to that, we just kind of wanted to expose them to a whole bunch of different things. So they're both still in swim class. To us, to me, especially growing up, in Australia, like, you have to learn how to swim. Like, it's a survival thing if you ever get...
I think that's just a parental duty. Like, you don't want your kid to fall off a dock one day and be like, oh, I forgot to teach him how to swim. Like, other things that weren't negotiable. But...
So the swimming is kind of like, until, they can safely, swim on their own, they're going to be in swim lessons. And then, again, that's just through the city. So whatever day of the week that falls on. Gymnastics, something I always wish I got exposed to as a kid. And I was never that flexible. And so we've found a great local program, just again through the city. So both boys are doing gymnastics once a week, and they're just excelling in that. They're doing really great. The Taekwondo kind of came up. Yeah, I think Norm touched on it, that Quinton was really passive, and we just thought this would be a good way for him to get a little bit of confidence, and you know, it's great.
He was into Ninja Turtles at the time, so
we
sold some gymnastics and taekwondo kind of at the same time. We're like, oh, you want to be a Ninja Turtle? Like, this is the path. You have to learn how to, like, flip, and you have to learn how to, like, punch and kick and defend yourself. And then I think since then he's found more, like, value in it for himself, like, that he actually enjoys it.
And would you say that putting him into taekwondo has increased his confidence a little bit? Have you noticed anything yet?
Yeah, I think so. And just, yeah. I would say so.
Yeah, I mean, it's so confounded with just, like, he's also 2 years older now, and he was 4, like, so... you know, it's hard to know whether he would have come out of his shell more even if he hadn't done that, but it's definitely given him, like, an ease physically, and it's not so much about, like, being able to, like, dominate other people, but just feel, like, really secure, like, that other people can't just intimidate you, and so I think that's been useful, and I think martial arts in general are a really good sort of, like, buffet of different things you might want to learn how to do, like, you know, mental control, physical control, balance, strength, like discipline. These are all kind of things that you could transfer into a lot of other parts of life. So he's become like a disciplined, controlled 6-year-old. Like, it's all relative, right? Like, compared to some other 6-year-olds, sure. but he seems to be, like, flourishing. And so figure if he's doing activities and he's doing really well and enjoying himself, like, that's the yardstick. But, you know, it's impossible to know that it was, oh, just because of this class or just because of this one thing. But yeah, things seem to be working well.
Yeah. I think that's him to move. Like, Phoenix, he's done a bunch of dance classes through the city too, which have been really great.
Yeah, anything Phoenix has, like, no interest. You know, no interest in taekwondo. So we're not, like, we don't want to start him doing something he, like, flat out sees no appeal in. But yeah, he likes dance.
He loves dance.
He likes gymnastics. So we'll try to, like, get him to do something active, but something that, you know, he at least has some spark of interest about.
Right. And this is actually... I'm sure a lot of listeners want to know, or newer parents. My kids are much younger than your kids, and I'm always not sure when to put them into stuff. So I had my son do some gymnastics, and it was like a very fun style gymnastics class, and I thought he did pretty good, and for what the program was. But then there's other things I want to put him in, like soccer or baseball and martial arts. But all the other parents I talk to, you know, he's 4 years old. He's too young. It's like a waste of time, or it's a waste of money. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think we threw Quentin in soccer. I think was 4, and I don't know. We never spend a lot of money in any of these programs, so, like, these are all, like, the city programs. Some of them, like the swimming class that Quentin's doing right now, is free. It doesn't cost us anything. So money was never really a big thing. But I think just as long as your attitude is just to keep it fun. And even if soccer for 4-year-olds, like, they're just all, you know, maybe one kid gets to touch the ball in like 20 minutes. They're all herding around the ball. It's really fun to watch. I think it's more just getting them used to being around other kids and being outside, and they're still running around. I don't think there's any harm in exposing them to that.
Yeah.
I think if it's all in how you introduce it. Like, if you are, like, cheering them on the sideline, or, you know, getting really competitive. I think that's probably not a healthy way to introduce your kid, especially if they're young, to those kind of team sports. But just
because,
keeping it light.
Yeah, because I struggle with whether to, I'll say, go through the trouble, because it's getting them ready to go to class, driving them to wherever they need to go, or walking them to wherever they need to go. So isn't just that 1 hour of that.
Yeah, it can take up a chunk of the day.
Yeah, or whether it's better just for me to spend that hour with him going to the park and running around. Like, you know, I struggle with that conflict of, yeah, I want him to go and try these different things. Is he too young to try these different things? Would it be better if I just stayed home with him, or just spent that time with him instead and save everyone the hassle? Everyone being me and Gina and my daughter Aria of the hassle of, like, getting ready to go and do those things, rather than just one and I just go and kick around the ball with him. Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a couple things there. I think you're totally right that the time they spend with you and being active is probably going to be, like, the most formative, because, like, as the parents and family are who they're really learning, like, how to be people from the most, especially when they're young. When they're older, it'll be different. It'll be more their peers. But so that's really important. But, you know, a couple of things that sort of stand out to me is, like, first, like when people say that, like, really, are you going to go for an hour a week and go run around with your kid, or are you going to go to the park and be like on your phone? And I don't mean you personally, Jimmy, but like, are you going to just like drag your butt to the park sometimes and then like just ignore the kid for an hour? Because we see a lot of that at parks. And so is the supervision really going to be better? Like, and be honest honest in asking that question. And then the other thing is like, if you think of it from more of like a confidence and being able to get acculturated to being around other people, and especially like how to deal with your emotions when you're being competitive with other people, it's really different to do that around other kids than around your parents. So like Quentin, when we play basketball, will be much more aggressive, much more aggressive playing with us than he ever will or would have been until maybe very recently playing like in a city program. So there's something about learning to like kind of strike it on your own without the parent around that, and it has to be titrated to when the kid's ready. And it, like Kate said, you don't want to be a big pressure situation, but I think it is worth the effort a bit to put them a bit outside of their comfort zone where they have to kind of like find their own path and learn to be confident. But, you know, to be careful with that, like if they're totally overwhelmed and they're crying every time you take them to a program, like that's probably a good sign it's not the right time. Like, and just like shove them in there and have them hate it and then learn like, oh, I hate soccer, I hate, you know, whatever the activity is. But at the same time, like if they're a little bit uncomfortable and with like urging and coaxing and like a lot of support, they can do something they didn't think they could do. That's something you can't always give them by yourself, you know, because like it's all, for a lot of kids, like the parents are like a safe space. So it's good for them to feel a little bit anxious and have a bit of risk, but then that also gives them the opportunity to achieve something. Whereas that feeling of achievement, like, might be harder to get with the parents. So I think if they show an interest in something, like, try it. But, you know, we've been tried to be a bit savvy about it too. As Kate said, like, we haven't picked sports that require a ton of time. And, you know, like growing up in Toronto, like getting your kids into hockey and stuff like that, like there's a lot of people who do that and obviously care a ton about it. Ton for their kids and are investing a lot of money and a lot of time. And so you have to sort of think, well, what trade-off makes sense for me? But it's worth like trying something with them. Like, you don't have to have them booked for something every night of the week, but to have them try something that they have an interest in and see how it goes and help them deal with frustration or boredom or not being able to win or whatever it is. Like, these are all there's a lot more teaching that goes on than just like, here's how you score a goal when you sign someone up for like a program where they're not the most special person in the room. You know what I mean? Like, right. That's important for the kids to learn early, as opposed to like you show up when you're 12 and you think you're God's gift to everyone, and then you realize like you suck at things because your parents never let you see that there are other kids who are trying harder than you and are more athletic than you and that kind of stuff. Like, there's a lot of other learning that goes on. So, anyway, that's my ramble on it.
Yeah, and have any of your kids come up to you and you know, we touched on Taekwondo a little bit, but they come to you like, look, Mom, I can't do gymnastics. I don't like it at all. Have you run into that situation yet?
Well, Quentin's at the age now, because he's six and he's in gymnastics where he's the only boy now. So he's kind of grumbled about it, about going just kind of recently. But then like 2 minutes in, you just look down, he's having the time of his life doing a somersault on the beam or something, you know? Mm-hmm. So we'll see. We'll see if he grumbles a little bit more about that in the next year or two.
There's some things we sign up for that you know we'll do again. So I think like there's two levels. There's like the level of you want them to go to the thing they've signed up for and they don't want to leave the house. And like, we're not too sympathetic about that. It's like you signed up to do basketball. It's time for basketball. Like, put on your shoes. Like, and you know,
it's just a change, you know, with kids, they don't want to change. Like if they're inside doing an activity, they just want to keep doing that. They won't want to have to put shoes on and get in the car or get on the bike and go do something else. And then when they're doing their activity, it's like, well, I don't want to go home, you know?
Yeah. So that kind of stuff, we don't pay too much attention to. I mean, we have to pay attention to get them to put on their shoes and stuff, but you don't think about like, oh, that's a serious criticism of the program we've set you up in.
I know.
But, you know, at the end of like a session of something, you're not thinking about, are we going to sign them up for this again or like the next level or something like that. We try to be quite open at that point if they don't want to do it. Like, there's so many things that kids can do, right? That why, like, force them to do something when they've given it a fair try and, like, they've coaxed them into making an effort. And then at the end, they're like, yeah, I really don't like that. Like, you know, there's no reason they have to do something just because it was something that one of us liked to do or we had this cool idea that they would be great at it. So I think at that sort of macro level, it's important to be really flexible But again, like, you're teaching them about committing to something. So they sign up for 8 weeks of something, like, make them go and try to support them and make it as fun as it can. But at the end of the day, I don't think they've ever not gone to a class just because they whined about it beforehand. Never, ever caved on that. A single time. If they're sick or there's some other reason, or like, that's fine. But just like, I don't want to, they've never, ever won that battle.
But they don't, they haven't really complained about.
Well, but that's the flip side, is you go through like a lot of heartache, like with them fighting early on, and then they realize, like, if I have my class, I'm going to class. And then eventually, like, the conflict disappears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're reaching the tail end of your story here. So I'm gonna open it up to the two of you to ask me, you know, any questions. Anything about your own personal fitness or fitness in general? If nothing, then that makes my job super easy.
How did you get so strong, Jimmy?
Oh, you like they want a personal question.
you want me to ask me something more? Something
no, like anything really. Like if you want to know how, first of all, I don't think I'm very strong, but if you think about what I do for a living, I pretty much lift weights from one end of the area to the other end of the area, and I do this all day. So I like to think I built some natural strength that way, but I've always been into weight training. I was never good at sports, or to be honest, I still don't really enjoy playing sports. When I grew up, my parents put me into a lot of solo sports, I guess.
Yeah.
Like swimming, taekwondo. I know tennis is not a solo sport, but that relies on just myself to play. And yeah, we moved around quite a bit, and we didn't live in the nicest neighborhood, so my parents would never really let me go out to really venture out onto the streets to play basketball or anything like that. And I didn't really have a lot of friends growing up, so it was just my sister and I. And yeah, well, I had a very jam-packed schedule of doing something every day. But
yeah.
And then when I was like 16, my gym teacher showed me, you know, I guess it was our first opportunity to do some weight training, and I just like loved it. And everything that I do, everything that I know about weight training, of course, I picked up other little things here and there, but the basics of it has not changed since I was 16 years old, and I still teach almost exactly how I was taught. From my gym teacher.
Wow.
So, Mrs. Sparks, if you're out there, shout out to you.
That's close to me. I hope
that's
you do,
really
do
cool.
Like an origin story episode too.
Nope.
Yeah.
You record that, yourself asking the questions.
Nobody would want to know anything about me.
Mystery.
Yeah. But is there anything I can help you with about your own fitness? You guys feel pretty good about it?
Yeah, I love your class.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Totally love it. So, no, keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on? Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I mentioned it a bunch of times. Like, it's just really cool that we never really do the same thing each time. And I think that helps keep things fresh, right? And also, if there's something, you know, hated doing 1 week, I know we probably won't do it the next week. So it's cool that you mix it up.
Yeah, something that actually you guys don't know, actually probably a lot of people don't know, and I'm wondering whether I'll keep this in or not, which is I actually will go home and write notes of everything, of every person that I've trained with throughout the day. And just, you know, if it was a class, I'll write who was in that class. And just like little things that I might see, or like, you know, Kate didn't want to do pull-ups or anything like that. Not, you know, just using that as an example, but it just helps me when I go back, and especially in a month, I'll actually, maybe if you notice or you don't, but I will pick one thing that I want everyone to kind of work on and just kind of drill it home and make sure that just that one thing that we keep doing it over and over so that you actually improve on it. So yeah, whether you guys know or not, every month is like themed to me. And yeah, I go home and I write down like, oh yeah, okay.
That's why I do pull-ups once a month. Now I understand why.
So yeah, that's the somewhat rhyme and reason to my methods here. But yeah, I really try to mix things up, because, or should I say remix it up, because Yeah, it's just fun to just do things differently. I personally will change up the way I do things for a while, you know, from time to time as well. So yeah, that's the way I was taught, and that's the way that you build change, to kind of put yourself, to make yourself a little uncomfortable, because that uncomfortable feeling is that's what's going to make your body change.
Yeah. Right?
So your body, your mind, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it reminds me of something I heard. They I don't know where I heard this, but it's if you change nothing, nothing changes.
Exactly. And
that's I don't know. That really kind of, I really get that, really resides with me. Like
that's something. Do you guys know the actor Terry Crews at all, by chance?
Yeah, like the Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
The Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the really huge, just like, I think he's in his 40s or 50s. Just,
oh, yes.
Yeah, just amazingly, like, in shape. But he's also, I recently heard him speak in an interview, and he's extremely, he's got a very, like, he's not just, I guess, all muscle. I guess, I was judging him, you know, but he actually said exactly what you said, which is, or similar to it. Kate, you said it much better than I did. Could you repeat that?
If you change nothing, nothing changes.
Exactly. So yeah, that was his mindset to it. And I was probably, I know I've heard that a few times before here or there, but when he said it, I was like, it resonated with me as well. And as you're saying it again, it reminds me of hearing that. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. So how about this? Norm, why don't we start with you, which is, if you were to give one piece of advice to a parent or parents who are looking to start or restart their fitness journey, what would it be? Because the biggest problem that they have, or we'll assume that one of the problems that they have is time. They don't have enough time to do it.
I'd say, well, first of all, I would never say that. I would just stop saying you don't have time and start saying, like, you don't make time and own it. And that's like the number one thing, because, like, you know, I make time to eat cheese late at night, and I would never say, oh, I don't have time to eat cheese. Right? Like, so that's kind of a facetious example. But starting off, like, with this idea that you make time for the things that are important, and then my advice would be, like, is your fitness important to you? Like, is being able to play with your kids or grandkids down the road important to you? And if you get that it is, like, what are you willing to sacrifice? Like, this kind of goes along with what Kate's saying. Like, what are you willing to change to realize that importance, right? And so it doesn't have to be, like, you have to become this all-star athlete or something like that. But, like, what's something that you could do, like, today or tomorrow that would be, like, the start of something, a change? Right? And so for a lot of people, that could be like, I'm going to go for like a 10-minute walk tomorrow. And then you get all this like self-doubt. It's like, well, that's not going to change my whole life. And how's that going to make a difference to my fitness? But if it's like going from no exercise to like, I'm going to get outside for 10 minutes, that's an infinite change. That's the biggest change you can make. Like going from 10 minutes to an hour is not as big a change as going from nothing to 10 minutes. So I know it's kind of complicated, but it's sort of like, think about like, is fitness important to you? And if it is, like, what are you willing to change? And then go do it, right? And don't try to do something big. Just do something small that you can really do. Because, like, if you have that experience of success, like, you pick something small where you can have success at it, it's going to become more comfortable and more rewarding next time. If you decide, like, I'm going to run, like, for an hour, and you have no background in fitness, and you try to go run and you fail, like, guess what? It's going to feel crappy, and you're not going to do it next time. So get the why first, like the motivation, and then figure out something small that you can like definitely achieve and just do it. Like get that first like notch under your belt, no matter how small it is, right? Because it's just, like I said before, relative to how you were the day before. Yesterday you did nothing. Today you did something. That's so much better. And don't worry about what other people are doing.
Very cool. And Kate?
You got to support your partner. And my other advice is just put it on the calendar. Like, just make it happen. Just say, okay, Wednesday from 8 to 9, that's, I'm working out. And then be a support for your partner to enable that to happen. Or if you don't have a partner, you know, enroll your neighbor or another friend. I hear parents do, like, kid swaps. They do it with babysitting. Well, why can't you do it with going to a class you want to do? where you look after your neighbor's kids for a couple hours on one day, and then later in the week they return the favor.
Yeah, you know? That's a really good one. Like, we're bad at that. We really want to be independent, but it's like, so it's great to ask for help. Sometimes, like, asking for help, people like when you ask them for help. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. But yes. I find if you put it in the calendar, it happens. And, you know, we don't hesitate to, like, book more swimming lessons for the kids or whatever, but booking that time for yourself is just as important.
Yeah, very, very important to book that time for yourself. And I'm really happy that you two decided, you know, accepted my invitation to come on the show, because this show is about me sharing people's stories, and you as parents and having full-time jobs and dedicating some time for yourself for your own personal fitness, and you two are doing, or do like I said, do things the same, but you also do different things apart from one another. And I really think that's something that's going to motivate and inspire a lot of other parents out there, and not just parents, but a lot of other people out there to make that change. So thanks so much for coming on and sharing your story.
Yeah, thanks for inviting us, Jimmy. It's fun.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So I guess we'll close off the show like this, and I'll wish you guys a good night. And
sounds good, Jimmy.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
See you in the gym.
See ya. I want to thank Kate and Norm for sharing their story with us. I think all parents can relate to the struggles of finding time for yourself when you have children. You want your kids to be active and try different things, but sometimes you forget about yourself. It's so easy to lose track of time when you're driving from one lesson to another, preparing dinner, or just getting ready for the next day. I consider myself a relatively new parent. I have a 4-year-old son and an 8-month-old daughter, and I can tell you that having kids was a huge adjustment for me in my personal fitness, because I wasn't able to just go work out whenever I felt like it. And that's what worked for me before. I had to change my own why and look into cracking my own fitness DNA a few times over the last few years. And I'm willing to change it again when my kids grow up, or if I move, or if the season changes. Before I let you go, I just want to remind you, I mentioned this in the intro. If you want to connect with me or others who are trying to remix their own fitness, you can do that by visiting the Remix My Fitness Facebook community group. We have a really good group of people who share tips, recipes, exercises, and we share a couple laughs as well. I hope you join the community and subscribe to this podcast. Finally, if you think you have a good grasp on your own fitness and health and want to share your story, send me an email at jimmy@remixmyfitness.com. Tell me a little bit about yourself. I would love to hear from you. I hope you enjoyed today's first episode, and I'm looking forward to coming out with more. Check out Dave's story in the next couple days as he embarks on his 12-week journey with me. Until next time.